What is up, guys? My name is Jonathan Linder, and so this is my second or third time to be with you guys, and a lot of you I've met and been around, but for those of you who don't recognize me, I am a little new to the team. I've been here about a month and a half, and so I am filling in the new spot of the Wake Men's Coordinator, and I am so excited to be with you guys for the foreseeable future and get to spend time with you guys this morning. And so, as you see from our bumper and our slide, we're going through a series for the next 2 weeks, and it's called Nobody Wants to Be Lonely. And it is the who, the when, and the how of godly romance. And so, you might be asking yourself, why are we doing a dating series? This isn't the porch. We're in middle school. What does that look like? And so, I hope to answer those questions for you today. And so, first off, just to kind of have a little bit of a icebreaker here, I would love to know, this is a leaders-only question. And don't worry, I'm not going to call you up on stage, but who here in this room has been through an awkward or a bad breakup? Leaders, raise your hand. Okay. That's a lot of you guys. Most of you guys have been through an awkward or a bad breakup. So what we're actually going to do is also look at some bad and awkward breakups. And these are some tweets that have been posted. These are from a Jimmy Fallon bit. And so we're going to look at our first one here. And this is from Yusuf Ojedid. It says, I broke up with my high school girlfriend using an Excel chart to illustrate the downward trend of our relationship. Tough. Tough, tough, tough. I wouldn't recommend that, but Yusuf went for it. All right, on to our next one here. Mike Mensel says, we were on a chairlift heading up the slope. She dumped me. The lift broke, and we had an awkward half hour of silence. Man. You just got to sit there. That's when you give her the knuckle bump. You're just, all right. Next one, customer 12 at church. He shook my hand and said, I don't think we should date anymore. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. That's a good one. All right, our last one, Kyle Osman. A girl in my middle school canceled our movie date over voicemail. My parents heard the voicemail before I did and woke me up to tell me, so essentially my parents broke up with me. Hashtag how I got dumped. That is tough, Kyle. And so those are just some very silly and funny ways, but obviously real, that people have gotten broken up with. And again, you even see out in the crowd all the leaders that have had awkward or bad breakups. And so how can we navigate best relationships and how can we lead well? And so, again, I asked that question, why are we doing a dating series? And ultimately, I'd say to you that we have the desire for companionship. All of us want to be wanted, or we want to feel significant or cared for. And we see that that's a good thing. God has put those desires in us. And so we see that specifically in Genesis 2:18. God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I'll make him a helper and a companion. We see that God, from creation, has designed us to desire companionship. And so I'm going to give you guys a real quick challenge today. We're not going to be in one specific passage or text. We're going to be flowing through a bunch. So here's my challenge to you. As verses continue to fly up on the screen, we've got quite a few of them today, but just write down the reference. And I would love for you to star or mark down maybe two or three of them. And later on in this week, I would love for you to go back and read a couple of your favorite verses that really stick out to you from this message. So as we move on here, we see from Genesis 2:18 that we are born with a desire to be married, but we're not born ready to be married. And so, if God has put these desires for love and romance inside of us, then it ultimately begs the question, and you saw it on our bumper slide, but it begs the question of, who's the person who finds this? When am I ready to pursue this? And how does someone find this? Those are all great questions. And today we're going to dive into and really discuss the who and the when of godly dating and godly romance. We're going to look at three things to set you up well to answer these questions. And so I'm going to jump into our first one here. Number one, it is follow facts instead of feelings. Follow facts instead of feelings. And just for a breakdown, what does it look like when we follow our feelings? And I would first ask you a question, and I would say, have you ever had times where you've thought or felt, man, why did I do this? Why did I say that? Why did I think this? Why did I look at that? Quite often we look back with regret on decisions we make in haste and that we make out of our feelings. I think the reason we do that is because we trust our feelings, and our feelings are not trustworthy. They're real, but they're not reliable. And we use romance for the wrong purpose when we pursue it out of our feelings and not out of the facts. And we date and pursue relationships for the purpose, maybe it's to get attention. Maybe it's because we want someone else to desire us, someone to text, someone that we don't feel lonely, someone that I know finds that I am attractive or funny or that finds value in me. And when we pursue relationships out of our feelings, we find ourselves placing our identity in those relationships so often. When I was in high school, my group of friends, there were two things that you were known by. Number one was, what sport did you play? And number two was, who were you dating? Those are the two ways in my group of friends that you found status and rank in high school. Maybe you're starting to feel that now in middle school. But in high school, I bought that lie. I put my worth in the hands of the friends and peers around me who did not know and walk with God. And I ask you guys the question, how do you think that went for me? And you see in Proverbs, I'll tell you right now, it was Proverbs 13:20. It says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. And as I put my identity and my worth in the hands of those around me, I suffered harm. I followed my feelings. I followed not wise counsel, and it cost me. And so the flip side of that is to follow the facts and to trust the fact that dating is for a purpose. And the purpose of dating is to confirm a decision to get married. It's a process to determine, are you going to spend the rest of your life with that person? Say that again, that the purpose of dating is confirming a decision to get married. And so I would say that in middle school, it's a fact that you're not in a place to pursue a relationship with the intention of marriage. You're not in a season where you can look at a relationship and genuinely walk in that with the intention of marriage. And so we have to trust facts. We have to trust godly counsel. And how do I follow those facts? And so we see in two specific verses that I want to highlight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take. We cannot walk in our own understanding. That is the part of that I really want to focus on. We have to seek God continually. And then the second verse we see, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? There's no cure for our heart. It's a permanent condition. There's nothing we can do. We don't outgrow having a broken heart. And so it has to be under constant supervision. We have to constantly walk with the Lord. We have to constantly seek his word and, again, live in godly counsel. And that leads me to the second point here. And it is that focus on the person you're becoming. Focus on the person you're becoming. Proverbs 19:2 says, a person without knowledge is no good. A person in a hurry makes mistakes. Don't rush through your time in junior high. I remember being in middle school and in high school and thinking, man, it was almost like I set a clock. As I just want the next relationship. And as soon as it ended with a girl, I looked for the next one. And I looked for the next one and the next one. I continually put my value and my worth in relationships, and I was in a hurry and I made mistakes. You're in a season right now where you're learning how to love God, walk with him, read your Bible, be and make disciples. Steward it well. Don't waste the years that God has given you right now. Proverbs 20 verse 4. I know we're flying through these Proverbs, but it says, those too lazy to plow in the right season will have no food at the harvest. You are in a season right now where you are plowing, and you will determine the person you will be in marriage in these years. You're building your foundation and the character that you're going to carry on into your young adult life. And as you are as a parent and as a leader and a full-time worker in all the different areas, you are building that foundation right now. And so again, we said at the beginning of my message, I said, we would also tackle the question, so when am I ready to date? If I've heard all of these things from you, when am I ready to date? And I would say two things to that. One is when you listen to godly advice and have green lights. Meaning, my parents, my community group, my small group leaders, my peers, not peers at school that say, hey, bro, you still texting, Snapchatting that girl? Or, hey, are you going on this date with this guy? Or insert, it's godly counsel. When you have green lights from people in your life that can look at your life and genuinely assess where you are, your heart is, and how you can pursue a relationship. And the second one I would say is when you are ready to pursue a relationship with the intention of marriage. When you're ready to pursue a relationship with the intention of marriage. Not that it's ever an expectation that if I date this person, I'm going to marry them, but I am dating with a purpose. And can you date with a purpose? And so listen to people who will tell you what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear. Share your feelings you have about datings with those around you. Because they're there. They're real. We see that again from Genesis 2:18. We all have them. And so if I just pretend that I don't, or I don't share them with others when I do, I'm going to find other outlets or ways that those will probably manifest themselves in. Proverbs 19:27 says, if you stop listening to instruction, my child, you will turn your back on knowledge. Proverbs 18:1 says, whoever isolates himself, he seeks his own desire and he breaks out against all sound judgment. If we isolate ourselves, if we deal with our feelings on our own, or if we look to our left and our right at those around us in our friend groups and we think that is the goal, that guy's got it all. He has the position on the sports team that I wanted, he or she, or that girl or guy has the relationship status that I want. They're dating the person that I really like. And other people around them think that they're popular or cool because of those things. And I'm going to continually break out against all sound judgment in that. And so in our last and final point, it says further the relationships that you are already in. Again, you're in a season right now where you are plowing and determining a foundation for your future. And so don't look for a human being in what you should be finding in Jesus. Spend time asking yourself this question. Is God enough for me? Matthew 6:33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Fight the temptation to believe that the grass is greener in the next season. Fight the temptation to think that if only I had this, then I would feel whole. If I only had this, then I would be popular. If I only had, insert the blank, we have to continually seek the kingdom of God above all else. Do you believe that God offers everything that you need? That's a genuine question. I ask if I've shot off so many verses that you've tuned out to them. I ask you that question from Matthew 6:33. Do you believe that's true? That God offers you everything you need? Do you believe or know that the gospel is true? That might be the first question that you need to ask before you even come to a conclusion that if God offers everything that you need. Do you believe that Romans 6:23 is true? It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you believe that God offers you a life with more joy and less scars? Not only eternal life, not only life that when this vapor of a life that we are in currently passes and that I get to spend eternity with him, praising him in complete joy, but also life here on earth. It says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. He offers you not only eternal life, but when we walk in his will and his statutes and in godly counsel and all the things that we've talked about, he offers you abundant life here on earth. And the enemy wants to twist and distort your views on relationships. He wants to come to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to do that by you finding your worth and value in your relationship status or by what your peers think of you. If you don't feel this pressure now, if you're sitting in this room and you heard from the start that the slide came up and heard that we're talking about relationships and you're like, that's not me. I guarantee you that if it's not you now, it will be in high school. It will be in future seasons. Ask your leaders if they've ever felt that pressure. I guarantee you it's coming. And so, I'm begging you today to make the decision now, early, that I'm going to choose to walk in a manner of stewarding my relationships well. And I'm not going to walk by my feelings, but I'm going to walk by the facts. Because again, if we misuse relationships, we will end up with so many scars, with hurts, habits, and hangups. I've heard it said time and time again, experience is a good teacher, but it's often a costly one. And right now in middle school, you are in a season where life has not yet taught you that it doesn't fulfill in all the ways that those further down the road have seen. That they've tried to find life from other streams. Experience is a good teacher, but it is a costly one. And so I am here today to ask and beg you that you would listen to wisdom and that you'd walk away choosing today to steward your relationships well. And I'll leave you with this last quote. It's from a guy named Timothy Keller. It says, "What happens when people refuse to acknowledge and depend on God as God? We do not stop worshiping, we simply change the object of our worship." We were created to worship something. And if we don't recognize and depend on God as God, then we're going to find something else to put our value, our hope, and our worth in. We will change the object of our worship. And so, in conclusion and in summarizing all of this, again, I know that we went fast. I know that there were a lot of points there and a lot of scriptures. And so my challenge to you is that you would sit in at some point this week and go back and think through some of those verses. Think through Matthew 6:33. Think through Proverbs 18:1. Think through all of these different things, the points that were made today, and genuinely gauge and assess your heart and say, where am I at? Because if you don't feel that pressure today in middle school, you will soon. My charge and plea to you is that you would find joy and life in following facts instead of feelings, in focusing on the person you're becoming, and furthering the relationship you were already in with a loving and perfect God. And if you don't have a relationship with a loving and perfect God, then find any person in this room with a name tag and have a conversation with them about it. We would love to have a conversation with you about starting a relationship with a loving and perfect God and how you can have more joy and less scars. Because that is the most important decision you will ever make in your entire life. And that's a bold statement, but I stand by it. The most important decision you will ever make in your life is choosing to walk with a loving and perfect God and placing your hope and trust in Him. So please, follow facts, not feelings. Focus on the person you're becoming and further your relationship with the Lord. I'm going to pray. Lord, I'm grateful that you love us so much that you sent your son to die for us and that we find our worth and value not in our relationship status, not in our job title, not in what our peers think of us or our popularity or our grades or the sport that we play, all of these things that we are tempted to place our hope in. But Lord, there is so much life found in following you. And I'm grateful that you've given us an entire book that you've inspired, that you have given to us because you love and care for us so that we may walk with you and be in right relationship with you. And Lord, I pray today that there would be students in this room who would choose in middle school to steward their relationships well going forward. They would choose today that I will walk not by my sight, not by my feeling, but my trust in you alone. Lord, I pray all these things in your name. Amen.